It's time to get up, get motivated, and start making moves for yourself instead of working to make someone else rich. These are genuine experiences and the stories of real entrepreneurs that made the ultimate decision to live for themselves in order to achieve unbelievable results. You're listening to The Time Is Now, making your business personal. Now here's your host, Kent Clothier.
All right. So everybody, let me introduce you to a really good friend of mine, a guy that I've known for a long time and who I know you're going to love to meet, Eddie Speed. Eddie, what is going on, brother? How are you?
It's all good. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. So guys, Eddie is a very unique guy. And as I said, friend of mine, I met Eddie, oh my gosh, let me think here, probably 9 years ago on that Winner's Circle cruise back in the day. Remember that?
I do.
And so Eddie and I, I'll tell you a quick story. Eddie and I, basically, this was long before I had become Kent Clothier that many of you guys know now. I was a guy that was still out there buying and selling a lot of houses, but I had a brand called 1-800-SELL-NOW. And quite frankly, I was pretty pissed off, had an edge to me just about the guru space at all. I basically thought everybody's full of shit and didn't like anything about it. Thought everybody was just full of crap. And Eddie and I were on a cruise mastermind and we got to talk and we never met each other before, found a lot of common ground. And quite frankly, the common ground was that we both thought everybody was full of shit. And so, and so we started talking about how it would be really easy to get in the headspace there that, man, I don't want to go in that space. It's just full of a bunch of people that don't know what they're talking about, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then through our conversations and some other guys that were there with us, kind of arrived at a place where it's like, listen, if we don't get out there, we don't get our messages out there, we don't do what we do, then we're not giving the customer, the client, the prospect any choice but to deal with douchebags.
That's it.
We have to go do the right thing, right? I mean, Eddie?
That's it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was a real powerful moment for you. I know it was for me that I just kind of realized that, man, this is actually what I have to do this because if I don't do this, then the voice of reason and the voice of somebody that actually is trying to be logical about this will never get heard. And so from that point forward, Eddie and I have been fast friends. We've always done business together. We've always kept in touch. Eddie's based in Dallas, Texas, my hometown, right there in South Lake, Texas, more specifically, my hometown.
Yep.
And Eddie's in a business where he does something very unique in the real estate space. And we've never had anybody on here to talk about it. And it is basically what is called cash flow notes, basically going out there and buying and selling the paper, the mortgages that are on properties all over the country. Right. And he has become the foremost expert on this. And where a lot of people, including myself, are very focused on the property, Eddie is focused on the actual paper as the asset versus the property as the asset. And I thought it would be at least two things I'll run and dive into with you here today, Eddie, is I want to talk about specifically about why you love that business, because as I said, the entire industry turns to you. You're the godfather of all of it when it comes to this, why this has been such a business that you focus so hard on and why you believe in it so passionately and why others should believe in it. But equally, I mean, you're a very, very successful guy. You've seen a lot of businesses come and go, and you've seen the ups and the downs, and a lot of people suffer through hard times in the real estate industry. I'd love to kind of pick your brain and talk about what, you know, what you see and why people survive, why people stick, why people make it. And just as important, you know, what was the characteristic about the people that kind of washed them out, right? I mean, I think those things are really valuable. So let's kind of jump into it. Tell everybody real quick, Eddie, just a little bit about your business per se, and then we'll kind of do some deep diving here.
Well, I started in the note space at 20 years old. So I'm fixing to turn 58. So I've been doing it for just almost 38 years, 1980. And what really happened to me was I fell into it by accident. Martha, my wife, as you know, her father got me started in the business. And it was just one of those things where he introduced me to it. Basically, he kind of put a test out there and said, if you'll go do this, I'll help you kind of in the evening, you know, kind of thinking that nobody would really bite onto it and go work for free. And I went and worked for free for a couple of years.
Wow.
And really, it was because of probably some other things in life I wasn't very good at. I had dyslexia. I didn't read well. And so, you know, going and becoming a lawyer or things that you could have that wasn't my thing. So I don't know. I just sort of finding my spot. And so I started out in the seller finance space, which is what most people like you would know me as. I mean, I bought institutional paper, defaulted notes, reperforming notes from institutions, and we still do that. But, you know, our stock and trade since 1980 is seller finance. And now I've hired a bunch of people, right? I got an executive team that literally has bought $3.5 billion in owner finance notes. I mean, that's
wow,
insanely more than anybody else.
Right.
So it's our space. And what makes me passionate about it, I don't know. I think you and I've had so many conversations where I said, Kent, if they understood this, if they knew this, you know, if they applied this to their real estate business, you know, I think the one thing that you and I definitely have a heart for is like, we're trying to show people wealth building strategies, right? Just flipping a house is income. And I'm not saying sometimes you don't need to make income, right? But if you wake up and you're 20 years in the business and all you ever do is flip a house, you ain't got any wealth. You may have high income, but high income doesn't equal high net worth. The thing I think that for me in the note space has been the retirement strategies that you can do with notes and just wealth building long-term strategies. And you and I go to some common masterminds together, and I frequently will start out kind of my specialty in the space and saying it kind of like this. You can own a business or you can own a portfolio. And you can own a business where you have a bunch of notes that aren't going to pay you well, and that's still a business. Or you can own a portfolio of notes where you filtered the right customers and the right kind of paper. Essentially, you own your own little bank and you own a portfolio, and that you can retire on.
I love it, man. I love it. So you got started in the business. You're 20 years old. I'm assuming that Martha's father took you kind of under his wing a little bit and she kind of showed you around, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I basically went in the office and worked every day for a couple of years. I mean, they would send me out to call on realtors and then I would come back in and work in the office. And, you know, I guess we'd look back and call it an apprenticeship today. You know how some of this stuff morphs. It wasn't like a planned thing.
Totally.
It's like, hey, you come in and we'll spend some time with you and show you some stuff if you're willing to spend some time and help us out a little bit. That's how it started.
Well, so tell me about the single biggest struggle you've had in business. I know you've seen, and as long as you've been doing this, 38 years, you've seen a ton of ups and downs. You've seen you've certainly seen the real estate market go through all kinds of cycles. You've seen a lot of people that have come in, the flash in the pan, all that kind of good stuff. Tell me some of the stuff that you've gone through, some of the hardships you've gone through, and kind of the lessons that you learned. If there was an entrepreneur that's listening out here right now and you could save them some of the brain damage of having to go through it, what would you tell them?
I would say at 40 years old, first of all, I don't think God makes mistakes. Okay. So this is figuratively speaking. Okay. But I would say at 40 years old, I thought God made the mistake of giving me dyslexia, because if I didn't have dyslexia, I'd be better at this, or I could do this, and you know, whatever. And I realized that dyslexia that I have has also caused me to look at a deal differently than other people. Right. It's caused me to be the deal architect and to look at, and it's even influenced how I train people to do the business. And so really my biggest struggle has turned out, I now look at it at 58 almost. And I think that maybe was my gift because it was a beating. I'm in the paper business and I don't read well. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you're all crossing the T's and dotting the I's and understanding the contracts and how the deal structure and how the note structure. I mean, that's the business, right?
It is. And obviously, I've surrounded myself with people that are good at things that I'm not, right? Still today, right? But beyond that, you know, it was just, there were some major issues in the business because I wasn't good at those things that you're talking about. I could figure out 20 ways to structure a deal, not in the early, early days, but I think somebody today, if somebody kind of started down the road with us today learning the business, probably a year in, they'd be shocked at how creative they could be. But once again, I've learned how to teach it.
Yeah. I want to repeat it back to you and tell me what I'm hearing you say is that because you had a perceived black mark against you, right? Call it whatever you want to call it. Dyslexia, you felt like it was something that was holding you back. The reality of what it was is it made you exercise other muscles. It made you a lot more creative, made you address those things, surround yourself with good people, understand how to do deals in maybe a little bit different ways, whatever the case may be, but it made you just think differently. Is that fair?
I couldn't be totally reliant on Eddie.
Which is a huge part of owning a business or building a portfolio is that you have to be able to leverage other people and leverage systems and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you and I mutually know some really smart people and they kind of get in their own way a little bit because they're so smart. They're like, they don't trust other people's judgment necessarily, or I've got this, and they have excellent judgment. They're smart, but they sometimes struggle with how to scale it.
Oh, I think it's probably the single biggest thing I see. And I know you see the same thing, right? Inside these masterminds, you see these guys that are some of the richest dumb guys you've ever met. And what I mean by that is not in a literal sense. I just mean like they can't get out of their own way to actually enjoy what they've built. They won't allow it to happen. Yeah. The wrong message is going on in between their ears. Their bank accounts looks great, but they're working their asses off and they have no way of taking their foot off the gas and no way of escaping it, even for a minute. That's not freedom.
Yeah. And it's funny. You and I know a lot of people that do a lot of volume in the business. And so there's a lot of, they progress to a certain level, right? They get a marketing system down, a strategy, which a lot of people in the business never get to, right? They got trained by some guru and they're learning a system that you and I essentially know won't work.
Right.
Here's the one punchline that I tell to people that have punched through the initial success of the business. And I say it's filtering your business. Chasing product and chasing a customer that fits where you need to be, instead of just blindly just chasing that next. I mean, you're one of the smartest marketers I know of anything, not just real estate info, but anything. You're the giant, and you know your avatar, right?
Right.
And you have told me, you have counseled with me numerous occasions, Eddie, who's your avatar? Eddie, who's your avatar, right?
Yep.
Helping me with some of my note training stuff, right? And the reality is while you are get that a whole lot more in the info space than I get it, if you chased as many notes as I have and worked on as many deals as won't close as I have, that's kind of my look back and saying, if you look at your business, you've got to filter and make sure you're chasing a property and a customer that fits where you really want to be at the end of the day.
Amen, brother. I could not have said that better if I tried. I mean, there's so many people that get out there and they're just chasing money, right? Instead of trying to actually create the thing that they want. And they start with the end in mind. I think it's very, very valuable insight is because we've heard it before, but you know, it's not all the time that we have guys on here that have 38 years of experience, right? Where you, at the end of the day, you decide what you want the business to look like and you work backwards from there. This is what I want it to be. These are the customers I want. These are the deals I want. And I'm only going to focus on stuff that fits into that box, period.
Let me give you a punchline to that so that your listeners can get a sense of what that means.
Yeah.
So like we're kind of the seller finance guys, right? Yeah. Now, by the way, on LinkedIn and a podcast and something every week now, somebody's teaching seller financing. I guess when you do 20 deals now, you become a teacher.
Oh, are you kidding me? You know how many wholesale gurus there are now out there? Everybody. The guy did it last week. He's got a new course coming.
Yeah. So there's all these people that are teaching seller financing that have done less than 50 deals. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, they're just quicker than me. It's all I can say.
Exactly.
So when you and I first got to know each other and you were talking about seller financing, the only seller financing you had ever really equated to was seller financing where you were really a substandard borrower. You know, they were paying 500 down and a 500 credit score and 500 a month, right? That kind of thing, right?
Totally.
And that's what you resonated. And then of course now many hundreds of conversations later, you realize that like my whole strategy in showing somebody how to do seller financing is really, look, your family's in Memphis. I mean, there are 20 states that have an average house value of less than 100 grand. Under about 75 or 80 grand, they're not going to get a mortgage.
Right.
You're going to get the slow no at the bank.
Yeah, right? Totally.
And so to offer seller financing, you're not offering seller financing to everybody that wants a house. You're offering seller finance people to the best 25% of people that the banks have left behind. You're not running an ad and saying bad credit, no problem. You're saying seller financing to deserving buyers with large down payment. That's the filtering that I'm talking about.
Yep.
You see the different customer that shows up?
100%, man. 100%.
One gives you a business, one gives you a portfolio.
So give some people some insight here, Eddie, because the reality of it is that there's a lot of people, I guarantee there's people that are listening right now, that are still like, I don't quite understand what Eddie does. So if you were going to just give somebody a 3-minute pitch and say, this is what we do and this is what we teach people to do, tell me what that looks like.
So Kent, you own a house.
Yep.
And you want to sell it.
Yep.
And for some reason, it's not a good candidate for bank financing. Doesn't mean it's a bad house. Doesn't mean that they're bad people. Maybe it's a bigger house. Maybe it's in beautiful San Diego and they're an ITIN buyer. Maybe they've got a third down, but they're not going to get a conventional mortgage because they got a green card.
Right.
Okay. Or they're in Memphis and they're going to buy a house for 80 grand in Memphis. It's a good neighborhood, good house. All of a sudden they go down to the First National Bank of Memphis and you and I know that they're going to walk away without a loan.
Right.
Okay. So all of those are candidates for private financing, seller financing, because you're the bank when the banks aren't playing.
Yep.
Right. And so in this scenario today, you're going to sell a house for $100,000. They're going to pay you $15,000 down. You're going to owner finance $85,000. You're going to carry that loan for 20 years. And you're going to carry it probably at a little higher rate than the bank, right? You should. I mean, they're not bankable, so you're not obligated to carry bank financing. Maybe you carry it at 7 or 8% interest, sometimes 9%.
Right.
But you hire out, and I guide you on how to do this. You hire out a third party underwriter that qualifies them under Dodd-Frank and all the things that you need to do. This isn't like Wild West stuff. And you have the loan with a servicer. And so now you went from being the property owner to you own a mortgage on their house. You're the bank.
Right.
So the reason I would show somebody how to do this is then they come in and say, Eddie, I need to sell my note. Right. Now they follow the recipe correctly. Okay. They've done it the right way. And so now they can come in and it lets me pay them the best money for their note because they cooked the pie correctly. They've made the note and didn't do a bunch of, as we know, real estate investors without proper training in notes are naturally not going to do the right thing.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I've done a lot of different facets of the note business, but that's the simplest explanation of something we've done tens of thousands.
So they effectively have an option. I mean, an $85,000 note at, let's just call it 8% over a 20-year period. It'll effectively double it. Let's just say it's like $150,000 over the course of 20 years, right?
Yep.
To your point, they have a portfolio now of something that where they're going to actually build wealth long term. But you're in the situation to where if indeed somebody wanted to get out from underneath that note, wanted to cash now, wanted to cash out, that's kind of your specialty is coming in and be able to, one, help people structure a note correctly on the front end where it is sellable, right? And teaching them the right way to do it. And then turn around, also provide the services of finding the buyers or ultimately you buying those notes and doing what you do with them as well, right? Continuing to service them.
Right. We buy those notes and we typically then will season those notes and let them make payments for a period of time so that they're more predictable pay history.
Right.
And then we find somebody, some passive investor with a self-directed retirement account. He buys that note, he keeps it with the servicer, and it's just a passive investment. So we're bridging like the individual investor that's passive and can't really make an underwriting decision well, right? And we're then showing a real estate investor essentially how to create paper at his own little bank when he owner finances, how to make it to where that loan is then has a predictable performance in the market.
Hey, this is Kent, and thanks for listening to the show. Listen, if you're an experienced real estate investor and you're just looking for a way to make the business easier, you're in the right place. This is exactly what we are known for. Do yourself a favor. Go check us out at thetimeisnow.com. Right there on the page, you'll see an offer to get access to a special offer that we're running right now for monthly access to our SMART system. SMART system stands for Strategic Marketing and Real Estate Training. It is an opportunity to get our best-selling software at a huge, huge discount just for being a listener. Now, when you get in there, we'll give you access to cash buyers, nationwide access to a list of cash buyers, nationwide access to all of the deals throughout the country, vacant properties, properties that have a ton of equity in them, properties that are deeply discounted and easy to flip, as well as nationwide access to our private lender database. Again, do yourself a favor, get signed up for that low monthly discounted offer over at thetimeisnow.com.
So you're talking to the exact same client that our company, Memphis Invest, yeah. Dallas Invest, talks to, right? So we're going after an individual that has hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, sitting in a self-directed IRA, or some kind of retirement account. They're trying to figure out a way to build wealth, that a lot of that money's just sitting on the sidelines, not really doing anything for them or making them a few pennies here or there. And so they want the baby. They don't want the labor. They want to own real estate. They like the idea of owning real estate or some kind of asset as like real estate, but they don't want to go and swing a hammer or do any of that other stuff. And so rather than my particular case, they're actually buying a rental property from us in a passive way. In your case, they're buying the paper on the property, right? I mean, because there are two very different things going on there. So that I think is another thing that's really important, because there's a lot of people that don't make that connection. It's very easy, because we're experienced real estate investors, for you and I to make that connection. But there's a lot of people that I don't think they totally get that, hey, I go sell you a house for $150,000 from Memphis Invest and you go and put a $100,000 mortgage on it. Well, now there's actually two assets. There's a property that you own, Mr. Investor, but there's also a $100,000 mortgage over there that the bank or another investor could potentially own. There's two things in play here. And so that's the way these things go together, guys, is that there's a passive play for if you want to own the property. There's equally a passive play if you just want to be the bank.
All right, so let me take it one more step further. Because people say, well, how do you build wealth out of it if you're just selling what you bought, right? One way you could do it is keep every fifth note, right? Make enough profit on four that you keep every fifth note for yourself. And then you wake up one day and you've got a bunch of loans and you own them because of you traded some profit for ownership in that note. That's one way to do it.
Right.
Another way you could do it is, Kent, you could sell 15 years of the note and keep the back 5 years of the note.
Yeah, when you told me this was fascinating. And this blew my mind the last time we had dinner when you were talking about this. So go into that for a minute. That this just kills me that this can be done.
So you have such a low cost basis in the back 5 years of that note. You could do 12 years, 14 years. I mean, we could, in training, we kind of show all this stuff. But the truth of the matter is, you're trading a little bit of money today for incredible income in the future. And there's all kinds of strategies. Like my wife does this. Now, she doesn't sell the property. She buys somebody else's note. Right. My wife does this a lot.
Right.
So she buys a note for, say, 80 cents on the dollar, right? She'll buy $100,000 note, pay 80 grand. But she's entitled to collect all the note and the interest that it earns. Then she goes out and finds an investor. And he buys, say, 12 years of that note, and he pays her almost 80 grand. So she owns the back 8 years of that note in a Roth account, Roth IRA account, with basically very little money invested.
Yeah, she's basically recouped her entire investment, and all of a sudden it'll compound on the back 8 years of it.
Right. And so that's where, like, most people that like do stuff with us, they do stuff with people like you guys too, right? That people have a rental portfolio and then they want some notes and they say, well, why would I want some notes? Well, there are some passive strategies you can do with notes that aren't quite the same that you can do with rentals. That's why they do it.
Yeah. I love the ability. I mean, when you talked about this last time we had dinner, I really had no idea that that was even possible. There's a lot of creative deal structure you can do with LLCs and that kind of stuff. And I get, when I wrap my mind around it like that, I understood it, that I was effectively selling shares in a business, and that was performing on the back end. I got it like that, but I just never even thought about doing a deal like that. And the fact that I could recoup my entire investment and turn around and still own. I mean, I have plenty of deals right now. I have taken my investment out, but I still own equity in a business or equity in a property or whatever the case may be because of my original effort that I put into it. And this is the exact same thing on the note.
It's identical. Yeah.
I love it. I love it, man. So let's talk about the Note Expo. What's coming up here in the next few weeks here? I want to make sure that we get a lot of people to come and check out, because I think this is there's an opportunity to spend some time with you and your team and in Dallas. And I'm going to be there. I want to talk about it here for a little bit.
So our idea with Note Expo was we're trying to create an environment that had everything from mega seasoned note people to people that were kind of passive on the sidelines, but saying, I want to go figure this out. So it's a meeting place. This is our fifth year. It's a solid event. I think it's regarded in the note industry as the best event out there. And so we got a terrific keynote speaker.
Yeah, I hear he's awesome.
His name's Kent Clothier. And Kent, you and I know what you're going to really talk about is this kind of this other side of this business, kind of the head side of the business, right? It's not mechanics. it's the head side of the business, and which is, after 38 years, I've learned that's really about it. If you can't deal with that, you can have all the technical skills in the world. So I appreciate your coming and helping us with that, and something that you really are a champion at.
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm excited.
But we're going to have a lot of mechanics. We'll have a lot of people that are doing it. We have servicers. We have people that do, you know, repairs on properties, people that help can help you create notes correctly, the license, RMLOs, more residential mortgage loan originators, all the stuff that people say, where would I find this? Right. I know I need to do it. How do I do it? And that's what Note Expo is about.
And in what dates and where?
It is going to be November 3rd and 4th, and it is at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Dallas.
November 3rd and 4th, Hyatt Regency, downtown Dallas. And where do they go if they want to get signed up?
Noteexpo.com.
Oh, that's easy enough. Noteexpo.com. We'll make sure we also put that in the show notes here. And everybody gets, you know, we'll link out to it. We'll send out an email to everybody to make sure that they know to come and check it out here. Now, Eddie, what's the sexiest thing about notes? Because I think there's some people that, you know, if I was listening to this, I was trying to think, I was like, you know, what is it about notes that keeps, you know, you've been doing this a long time, and there's certain people that they just kind of shy away from it. And I don't know exactly why, because what's the sexiest thing about notes?
It's that owning a portfolio.
It's the wealth, right? I mean, it's just the simple fact of building massive wealth.
You build massive wealth, and you can do it in a manner where it doesn't take you committed to the business 12 hours a day to do it.
So this is a completely passive way to build a ton of wealth, and without actually having to get down and swing hammers and have tenants and own physical property. I mean, anything, right? I mean, you're effectively the bank. There's a reason why the bankers and the financiers are the wealthiest people in the world at this point, right? I mean, because this is something that they've tapped into and clearly understand it. This is how it's actually done. And so for people that don't have a lot of exposure to the note side of this business, to have the opportunity to get a chance to meet you and get the chance to come in there and kind of learn a little bit about this and figure out how to do this and add this to your, like I said, I'm really, really excited to be participating. I think I'm excited quite frankly for two points. One, I want to give a ton of value to everybody there, but I want to get more, I want to immerse myself more into this. I'm at a place in my career personally where this is something that we just have to continue to employ more and more strategies and different strategies to continue to build on what we've already been able to accumulate, if you will, right? I mean, kind of get things moving in a different direction.
Well, you and I have had this personal conversation. I mean, there is a point in your real estate career that you don't abandon the rental property and certainly the phenomenal business and what you guys have done, right?
Right.
But the reality is you can ask just almost any real estate person, you know, just the generic question, if all things were equal, would you rather be the landlord or the bank?
Right. Amen, brother.
I mean, and once again, you guys make the landlording piece not an issue. I get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's very, you know, kind of my elevator speech is people say, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm in the business of buying private loans. And it's so I'm not like a bank. You don't make a deposit, drive through and make a deposit at my bank. But I basically operate like a bank, and all of my loans are real estate loans. And they're like, oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, seriously. How prevalent is it out there? How prevalent, seller financing, it always goes through its cycles where there's a lot of buzzwords and that kind of stuff out there, but how prevalent is it? I mean, I think people would be shocked to know just how much of it is truly going on out there.
I think in houses under 100,000, okay, so not every piece of real estate, right? But houses under 100,000, I think seller financing is probably about 20% of those properties.
Wow.
And
millions of properties.
It's a phenomenal number. And, you know, with the regulatory environment, they're not going to go fix Dodd-Frank where the finance companies can come back in and finance $30,000 and $50,000 houses again.
Right.
And people like in certain markets, like I'm sure your neighbor in San Diego can't wrap his mind around what a rural Tennessee would look like that would appraise for $50,000. But it can be a pretty dang nice house in a good neighborhood. It's just, that's just what they sell for. And without seller financing, they're not going to be a homeowner.
Right. We've been dealing with that for years. And when we're talking to California, New York, Florida buyers, right? When you talk to them about what's going on in Tennessee and what a $100,000 house looks like, you know, $100,000 house in Memphis, Tennessee was built in the last 10 years. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1700 square foot house, beautiful house, right? I mean, it's always shocking when people have coming from the coast, see what's going on in middle America, right? But it's very, very true. And then, you know, even when you get down below, to your point, below the $100,000 mark, it's the, just because it's below $100,000 doesn't mean it's a crack house. $100,000 can be a very nice house in a lot of areas of this country.
It's the market that hasn't recovered.
Yeah, totally.
And the reason it hasn't recovered is it's not giving financing to consumers that would be owner occupants. That's the reason the turnkey business has been so good.
Yep. Yep. It's forced them into becoming renters. That's exactly.
Yep.
Absolutely. So dude, what do you do for fun? I know what you do for fun. What's your big hobby? Come on.
Oh, I'm a cowboy. You know that.
I know. I don't think anybody cowboy. Could. I honestly, I'm not sure that anybody could have figured that out on here yet.
I grew up cowboying. And so we have some ranch property and we go hang out and have fun. And you've not been up there yet, but some of your pals have.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting for my invite.
We're going to hook you up. We're going to hook you up. And we do outdoorsy stuff, you know, fun stuff. And I would say I can spend a day out there doing stuff outside and I get to forget business for a little while. And for me, that's a good break.
I love it. I love it.
I buy a lot of land out there and I owner finance it. I know you find that shocking.
Exactly. I love it. Have you ever even used the bank for anything ever? That's the question.
No, I do. I mean, you know, I have a little credit at the bank, but the one thing I would say is, you know, kind of as somebody gets older, you know, I'm trying to like show them how to use private money so that they don't wake up one day in a bad cycle and all of a sudden their banker's not there anymore and they're fretting about notes that come due and that kind of thing. And that kind of, as you and I know, that kind of stuff can happen.
Totally.
And so there's a lot of strategies that we kind of get into that I think give people peace of mind later on when they don't want to fret as much.
So if people want to come, let's just say first, one more thing here, and then we'll get off here. If people can't make it to Note Expo, how do they find out more about Eddie Speed, about you, your company, what you do? How do they get involved with you, Eddie?
All right. So they're going to go to noteschool.com. Okay.
Okay.
And I have designed a special little thing for you. So it's noteschool.com/clothier.
I love it.
And it's some good little stuff that kind of takes from the conversation we've had today and gives people some more practical ways to utilize the information. And, you know, I mean, if what we said today is interesting, this kind of takes you to another practical step in learning what that means.
Awesome, man. I'm going to make sure I put it on there. So I will make sure on the show notes, we have noteexpo.com and then noteschool.com/clothier to find Eddie Speed. I'm sure they can reach out to you on Facebook or whatever as well, right? I'm sure you've got that LinkedIn, all that kind of good stuff.
The Note School on Facebook.
Nice. The Note School on Facebook.
We put a good bit of stuff up there. Not as much as you. You're like an animal with it.
Oh, God. I never get to catch the end of it from you guys. Wow, ball busting bastards. Well, man, I've loved having you on here. This is great. I will see you here in a few short weeks. I will make sure we get the word out on the Note Expo and get as many people there as we can. Mm-hmm. And guys, make sure you come out. Come out and see Eddie. Come out and see myself. And I hang out for a few days. Again, that is November 3rd and 4th at the Hyatt Regency in Dallas, Texas. That's noteexpo.com. Get signed up for it. If you can't do that, make sure you go to noteschool.com/clothier. Check out all the free stuff that Eddie's got set up there for you. Either way, Eddie is an amazing guy. I can tell you that he is one of the true rock stars in our industry. And you definitely want to try to do anything you can to get connected with him. And Eddie, as always, brother, thanks so much for taking out the time to come in here and hanging out with us.
I had a great time.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, my friend.
Be cool.
All right.
You've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more for you over at thetimeisnow.com, where you can sign up for our free mailing list to help you make the next big shift in your career. As always, we'll see you next time on the Time Is Now podcast, where your business is personal.